This is a production of Cornell University.
Student Assembly Meeting, December 4th, 2009.
All right, it's now 4:06. Will the clerk please call the roll whenever she's ready?
He's going to be late, so.
Okay. Andrew?
Here.
Basil?
Here.
Callan?
Here.
DeLongson?
Here.
Xander?
Here.
Felicia?
Here.
Desai?
Here.
Gitlin?
Here.
Blaster?
Yep.
Juma?
Here.
Kumar?
He's up there.
He's there.
Yeah.
Lutello?
Here.
Min? Nicoletti?
He's going to be late as well.
Oh. Philip?
Oh, no. Philip? Unexcused.
Raph?
Here.
Rao?
Here.
Rav
Rat? Unexcused. Phil?
Here.
Smith?
Here.
Well?
Unexcused.
Yang?
Who?
Yang.
Varan.
Okay, we don't have minutes to approve yet, so we'll move on to open microphone. If anyone in the audience has something that is currently not on the agenda and would like to address the SA, please do so. Oh, and because of the different structure of the room, we're going to ask for anyone wishing to speak to just come up in the front and address us all, and please project because we don't have microphones so the recorder can pick up your comments. And we have SA members up here in the front, and I'll recognize them every time they raise their placards. We'll move on to announcements and reports. I don't think anyone has anything new.
I mean, the only thing is if you guys in the back can't hear us at any time, just raise your hand.
Okay, so now we'll move on to business of the day. The reason most of you here is because we're going to be making the final vote on the student activity fee today, and I'll turn it over to VP Viz.
All right, so I guess I'm just going to go ahead and stay here, right?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. All right, so you guys all have in front of you the packet, which I guess is very short today, and has the filing funding allocations, but I guess not the comparison. So really quickly, I'm going to email around the comparison file. For those of you guys who have laptops, you can see where funding was 2 years ago. It's included in what?
Yesterday's packet.
Yeah.
But so if you had yesterday's packet, it's also there.
Okay. All right, and I also emailed around the cinema appropriations rationale and the cinema packet, so everyone has that in front of you. So I don't think I'm going to speak much at all. I really don't have anything to sort of add that we haven't already covered all semester, so I'll just go ahead and open it up for questions, I guess. I'm going to go ahead, Alex, and do new members.
All right,
so
you can stand up.
Okay.
So I would like to, I guess, offer an amendment. Okay, so I would just like to offer a small amendment.
Are we going
to
do amendment collection? Or are we just going to? Okay. Yeah.
So basically, I feel that Haven, the amount that they were giving was 14 cents, which comes out to a little around $1,800. I think they're an incredibly important group. You know, they serve a very wide, very broad community with many different needs. $1,800 is enough to hold maybe one event. The Appropriations Committee really wanted Haven to focus on educational events, and I think that expanding educational events would need a little bit more funding, and so I'm proposing raising it from 220 to 231. So that's rather than a 14 cent increase, it would be a 25 cent increase. This is about $3,000, and that should help them hold a couple of more educational events that can serve their various different communities in the broader community orders.
Okay.
How much did they originally request?
Yeah, so I'll read the, they requested 275. So I'll read the report. Hold on one sec.
Yeah, so the student activity fee is going to be presented as a resolution. So if anyone has any different proposals than the preliminary allocations listed here, you would just stand up as Representative Vanderdit. We're just going to collect all the amendments first. And then yeah. Okay. And if anyone else has anything else to say, any other amendments to make, we'll just collect all of them and then we'll go through them one by one and debate and discuss a vote. Okay?
Sure. Do you want to? Okay. Yeah, I mean, I just wanted to reiterate that the entire student activity fee has to be presented to the president of the university as an even whole number. So just keep that in mind when you make amendments to try, essentially, just keep that in mind that the total has to be an even whole number.
So I guess as part of my amendment,
we're gonna sort of figure out where everything except the SAC lies. Okay. And then the SAC will either be rounded up or there could be another amendment to round the SAC down.
Okay. There could be other amendments, including mine, that would change
that. Yeah. Okay. So, other amendments at this time? Or should we just go ahead and start with Haven and we'll open it back up later? Ulysses?
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Okay. You want my rationale and whatnot?
No, just...
Okay, well, for Port Nostroma, I'd like to do 225, because 225 for Port Nostroma for now, and then we'll go through that.
231. 1025, you said?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Anything else? Okay.
Do you want to do things alphabetically or in order? Okay. Line is turning in.
So we're going to go ahead alphabetically. There have been two amendments, one for Cornell Cinema and one for Haven. The Cornell Cinema amendment has been made to change the allocation from $8.60 to $10.25. Correct? And we will now open it up for discussion. I have a list of the community members here who will be recognized and a third member. He will be recognized as a community member. We'll show it now.
What information?
Sure.
Are we going to be able to propose further amendments later on, or is this like...
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Okay. Debate. Just open debate.
Okay.
Go ahead, Representative Desai.
Okay.
There's got to be one floating around.
So this has been a topic that a couple of people from the community have asked me about. I think BMC, you're here. You posted this on the blog. So Vice President Basil, if you want to clarify, a couple people have asked, we're talking about cutting funding for cinema because of the money that they're spending on student employees, and I've had a number of people say that the student assembly uses SAF money to fund student employees, so if you want to cover the rationale on that, because I've been approached about that a number of times.
Okay. Yeah, there basically are only two organizations that fund student employees through the student activity fee, the SA for the SA clerk and Cornell Cinema. So for the sake of consistency, the student assembly essentially in the appropriations committee rationale voted for an allocation for cinema that would leave the same amount of money, $5,000 for cinema for student employees as exists for the student assembly. That was the assembly's rationale behind the allocation in terms of how much money they left for student employees.
Just want to clarify that for anyone that has questions.
Okay. Vivi Kumar.
I think, it's important to recognize the process by which this went by. The Appropriations Committee made a recommendation based on the numbers taken into consideration, the amount that Cornell Cinema has on a cash reserve. And I think the Appropriations rationale for coming up with $8.60 was thought out. So, any amendment talking about 1025, I really want to know exactly what impact that'll have on Cornell Cinema's operation relative to 8,060 cents. I think it's one thing to say 1025 is just a smaller cut, so it sounds better. But frankly, if I'm voting on a 1025 amendment, I want to know exactly how many programmatic cuts fewer will be made because of 1025, how much less will ticket prices go up because we're funding a 1025 versus 8,060 cents. So that's the criteria I'm going to use to judge whether to vote for this amendment or not.
Do you want to yield to
it? Yeah. I'll let the leadership of Cornell Cinema, if they'd like to respond. Vivi Kumar asked what rationale would we have for funding at 1025, where the extra money would go. Same for the sponsor of the amendment.
I'll say a couple of things. Number one, the rationale for $8.60, as I believe you have pointed out, was flawed. The SA may be the only group that funds employees from the student activity fee. We fund student employees, but not through the student activity fee. It's not possible for us to make a say that if you give us $8.60, ticket prices will be this, we will take this many films off of revenue. So all that we can say is that if you give us $8.60, we have to cover a $33,000 deficit. If you give us $10, right? $10.25, we have to cover a less of a deficit. That's the reality that we are
dealing with. Okay. Do you have a pretty proper argument?
Yee-K. Go ahead, stand up, please.
Sure. Nikki, you want to speak? Put Nikki in please. She'd go.
So, hi everyone, my name is Katie Martin, a Cornell Cinema box officer and student advisory board member. There are two points that I'd like to make. First, one of the SA's arguments for turning Cornell Cinema into a volunteer-based organization is that EMS is currently run by volunteers. I don't think this is a valid comparison. The skills gained for volunteering for EMS are highly marketable, and as such, they provide a great incentive for students to volunteer their time. And selling tickets and popcorn at Cornell Cinema, on the other hand, isn't exactly a resume booster, so it would be unrealistic to expect students to work for no reward. Second, the SA has also suggested for students to take over the programming decision to get rid of the need for the full-time director and managing director. I want to point out that Cornell Cinema is different from the Concert Commission and Field Day in that it aims to provide education rather than mere entertainment. I like to think of it as more of an academic experience, and I think asking students to choose a programming is like asking them to design their own curriculum or reading list for a class. We're simply not knowledgeable enough to do that on our own. The purpose of having a cinema, just like the purpose of taking classes, is for students to learn what a good film or book are. While students should definitely be encouraged to give more input into a film they like to see, I believe that ultimately it takes someone like Mary, who has had a lifetime of experience in the art, to direct cinema as a fulfill its educational
experience. Thank you.
All right, so first I wanted to thank everyone for coming. I think it's a testament to, you know, people's passion in general and student involvement at Cornell. So I would just like to say that I think that the one thing that hasn't been focused on enough is really that a $30,000 deficit is a lot. But the Student Assembly Appropriations Committee has given a clear way to fill that deficit, and that would be to turn student jobs into volunteers. When Cornell Cinema came to us for the first meeting on you know, this decision by the Appropriations Committee, they pointed out that a couple of years back, the Student Assembly asked that the usher position be made completely volunteer. Even if the Student Assembly didn't ask for ushers to be made completely volunteer, Cornell Cinema did make the ushers completely volunteer, and quite successfully. And you know, while I understand that it could be difficult to find people that would work for Cornell Cinema for free, I think that providing some benefits like a free movie or a couple free movies or free movies throughout the year for employees, you know, plenty of groups are able to make do without volunteers. And you know, seeing how many people show up to these things, and I don't believe any of you are being paid for your time here today. I think that people are passionate enough about Cornell Cinema that they would be willing to, you know, support our cinema for free. Right. Thank you.
I'll give 30 seconds to respond.
Hello. My name is Ian. I'm the head house manager. If any of you have any questions at any time about how working at the cinema actually works, I'd be happy to answer.
Was what Representative Dunn just said correct? I noticed you had something.
No, well, I wanted to get on the speaker list.
I thought you wanted to respond to him. Okay, yeah, I'll put you on.
And I do want to respond
to him. Okay. Representative Junowitz.
Oh, not later.
Okay. We now have a video presentation from Dan Fiffin.
All right, so guys, thank you so much everyone for coming. You guys have all been so instrumental in coming together, and really, really appreciate all of your help, and everyone helping us talk about. So I just want to let the movie to talking, and hopefully you guys can see that movie on the screen.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, what's your favorite movie? Regarded as one of the best campus film exhibition programs in the country, Cornell Cinema has been providing audiences with a welcoming, affordable, and old-fashioned movie-going experience for almost 40 years. It is a beloved part of the Ithaca community, and is considered by many to be one of the area's greatest cultural resources.
I think Cornell Cinema is one of the greatest cultural assets of this university. Right out there with the Johnson Museum.
Cornell Cinema is a major cultural activity on this campus, and it appeals to people not just to the film majors, but I know to many of the faculty and students.
And I remember sitting in a chair with my buddy with the big screen and the big sound, and just completely, really.
Sitting at the wrong version. Give me 1 second.
Can you fast forward?
Yeah.
My favorite movie is
Coach. Sorry about that.
Is Representative Glasser.
So, I think this movie was very nice. But this is my third semester in Cornell, so effectively I paid $16.50 to Cornell Cinema. And that is the first film I've seen in, well, related to Cornell Cinema. I've never gone to the radio Cornell Cinema, so it's basically what I'm trying to say. And I know a lot of people like it, and I'm glad that people, you know, enjoy that cultural resource. However, I am paying money for other people to see movies, and I believe that if you guys want to make up the budget deficit that we'd be giving you, essentially, if you charge more money for movies, then that would work. And I'm saying this because I don't want to be paying private people to see movies if I'm not going to be going to them myself. And if I did go to a movie, I'd be happy to pay the price of the movie. Because, you know, that's the point of admission prices. So I don't see why you guys can't raise the prices so the people who are actually seeing movies can be the ones to pay for it, as opposed to people like me who don't play movies and have to upset that price.
Alright. Thanks. Zippy Andrews.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Well, you'll get on the speaker list and you have enough.
All right, so I guess when I, as a member of the Appropriations Committee, when I look at Cornell Cinema's budget, one of the biggest issues that I have is the size of the cash reserves. If we look at every other violent funding organization, the 30 other violent funding organizations, they don't request extra funding when they have 14% of their budget in cash sitting in a bank account. When we have other violent funding organizations who come up with a budget deficit, which others have, because Cornell Cinema isn't the only organization that sells tickets to events, and they describe that they have X amount of budget that they need to make up. They did these three things to cut costs, and then they need the student assembly to make up the difference. That is a very valid and reasonable request to come up with the difference in funding. But when you have an organization who asks for an increase in funding when they have $79,000 in a cash bank account, and doesn't come up with a plan for cutting down the budget deficit that were projected to increase over the next 2 years, I don't see where the ball stops rolling. If my vote were to change, I need to hear how that budget deficit is going to be brought down, or that budget surplus, the reserves going to be brought down, and how the budget deficit is going to be cut over the next few years.
Okay, next community member. Would you like to respond?
I could do a little song. Yeah, sure. I'm so tempted because you have a blackboard there. Can I use a blackboard?
Sure thing.
I've never got keys before, so I will do it. Okay, here we go. I always wanted to be a math teacher. So this is what our current reserve amount is, right? So this year, because of cuts that we received due to the recession, we're anticipating a $15,000 deficit, which we're planning to pay for out of our reserves. So that leaves us with 63,957. As we told you a number of times, our euros projected on their last legs. I think we probably will go ahead and replace them perhaps this summer. Not this summer, it'll be next summer, but whatever, this is going to happen real soon. So, $40,000. Okay, what are the rest of that? Now we're left with 23,957. Okay, so if we don't secure any additional funding next year, and we maintain our current level of funding, you guys aren't going to give us any more money. We will face an $18,000 deficit next year. This is if we don't make any changes. Understood. Obviously, we're going to have to think about making those changes. But this leaves us with, all right,
$5,957.
Okay?
Okay.
Right. That's how we're
going to
break down.
You can speak to that. You can speak to that. Daniel Rodriguez.
Hi, I'm Daniel Rodriguez. I'm a junior. I'm a shipper at the cinema. I will make my point simply and clearly. I ask that you please support the proposed amendment to the current byline funding proposed by Representative Smith to reposition Cornell Cinema funding to $10.25. As an organization that claims to represent and act in the interests of undergraduate populations, It has confused and disheartened me that the student assembly has not, as it would seem, taken into consideration of the opinions of its constituency. To say that the public outcry surrounding the proposed cinema budget cut has been strong is an understatement. At the current tally, the Facebook group Save Cornell Cinema has 2,277 members, and the online petition Restore Cornell Cinema's activity fee has 1,465, not to mention the countless passionate emails I'm sure you have all received. Cornell Cinema is an institution not only for the students of this university, but also for the members of the greater Ithaca community. It is an institution that has existed long before our tenure here, and one that will continue long into the future. To go forward with the $8.60 budget cut would be jeopardizing that future. I implore you, members of the student assembly, please do not be short-sighted. Allow $10.25 Cornell Cinema allocation. It is an investment not only in the quality of our life for undergraduates, but the community at large. Also, I'm sorry, representative in the blue shirt with the collar, I don't know your name.
I'm sorry, Matt.
Matt, and representative Lasser, I really don't think you guys know what you're talking about. Very simple. I'm sorry. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
I'd like to, I guess, kind of piggyback off Vice President Kumar's comments. Really what it comes down to for me, you know, looking at the budget is dollars and cents. And frankly, I'm also a little confused about the numbers that were just thrown up here, because right now, next year, you're already projecting your budget to spend $15,000 on capital equipment investment. That's already built into next year's budget. So, and that's on top of the $40,000?
That's for a digital video projector that we absolutely have to buy next year, and $40,000 is to replace the projectors in your budget.
Point of information, is that in the budget?
We did not put that in the budget because we hadn't planned exactly when it was going to happen.
Okay.
But that takes into account that $40,000 is there. It's just the budget that you have that you have put into the forecast, getting the 75 increase.
Okay. I mean, I think, frankly, also, what it comes down to a lot for me as well is, especially looking at attendance figures, is it's very understandable, I guess, to be showing movies very consistently throughout the year, up to the point where, you know, even showing movies close to 7 days a week or 7 days a week for part of the year, maybe not during prelims, not during study times, et cetera. But with the current level of attendance, to be showing movies at two different cinemas on campus, I think it's kind of ridiculous, even on the weekends. I think that concentrating things just in Willard Straight Hall would have a lot more attendance and would allow cinema really to focus in on what matters. So I think that really looking at this $40,000 expenditure, maybe it's time to discontinue Eurus Hall as a program for showing movies. Maybe we should just look to focus on Willard Straight Hall. Going off of, you know, all the things that are happening right now, Netflix, DC++, all the stuff that's happening, you know, culturally and socially, shifting movies away from seeing movies in theater and really encouraging people through high definition offerings, et cetera, to really watch movies in the comfort of your own home. I don't think the demand is still there, especially in Cornell's campus, to show movies at two different locations on the same night. And I'd venture a guess, looking at Cornell Cinema's attendance numbers, that on nights when movies are being shown in both Eurus and Willis Straight Hall, attendance is even worse than it usually is per screening.
Okay. Representative Moon.
So I actually disagreed with the cut when it was first made, and I still disagree with the cut. And I think that there really needs to be an increase on the non-funded funding that's given. I think that's a minority opinion on the assembly right now. But I don't want to negotiate any of the repeated arguments that have been made time after time. But I think we're going up to the last. It's very clear from the very onset that the funds that given by the student assembly activity fee would not be used to the workers in their pay. Would allocate the budget accordingly so that the workers would not be receiving from the student activity fee. As far as the, again, the surplus goes, I think they require and given more than enough reason for us to really see that as something that might be needed in the future. Again, there are projectors that are down to break, and it's really surplus that's needed in the future. And bottom line goes, again, as the previous student mentioned, just from the student outcry, I know we as student assembly really need to be logical and rational when making our decisions, and there are going to be always students who disagree here and there with some of the decisions that we make, but this is not one or two students that disagree with the heavy cut that has provided four corners of Meta, but it's a large classify, not only for students, but from the great ethical community, from professors, from faculty members on all sides of the issue, and that's really a theater double major. I really am seeing the importance academically and educationally that comes from something like anything else. I really hope that as a student assembly, we listen to our constituents, and as much as we want to be as rational as possible, if there's such a large outcry, then there's really a need for compromise in that sense. So that's basically all right.
Thank you. Community member Tyler Bennett.
My name is Tyler Dennis. My name is Tyler Dennis, and I'm a junior in arts and sciences. I've been in contact with many of you for the last few weeks, and I sincerely thank those of you who have taken the time to respond to my messages, and those of the many other Cornell Cinema supporters who have contacted you. I've also had the opportunity, along with several of my peers, to meet with some of the members of the FDA's executive board in person this week. And if nothing else, all of this interaction has convinced me that through a serious and productive discussion, Cornell Cinema supporters and FDA members can work together on a solution that will be more agreeable for everyone than the originally proposed cut. After all, you are our representatives, and we are your constituents. Despite what some on both sides of this debate have implied, this is not an us versus them situation. We, the students, have elected you, our peers, to represent us and our interests. And I believe that over the past few weeks, thousands of Cornell Cinema supporters have done everything they can to demonstrate to you what their interests are. Many FDA members that I've been in contact with have said that they will take this, the great size and fervor of Cornell Cinema support, into account when making their final decision. Perhaps now would be a good time to do this. Even if you have no personal interest or connection with Cornell Cinema, I ask that you simply take a moment to consider the thousands of students who do. Please reflect on the hundreds of passionate emails you've received in defense of our beloved cinema and on the many supporters who have shown up here today. Please truly consider that in whatever decision you ultimately make, you are representing these people and the thousands of other students who have made their support for Cornell Cinema perfectly clear. We have begged and pleaded with you, and we are running out of ways to say it. Please do not so drastically cut Cornell Cinema's funding. Whether or not you believe it, the difference between 860 and 1025 will have a very significant impact on the programming that makes Cornell Cinema so valuable. I urge you to support the amendment put forth by Representative Smith for a higher allocation. And to FDA members who already support Cornell Cinema, I urge you to speak up now and explain to your peers why you're lending Cornell Cinema your much-needed support. I don't really respond to the point that I still have
time.
I'd also like to respond to the point that Cornell Cinema had lacked in attendance. Last year, 20,000 undergraduate tickets were sold, and by the essays on Cornell, that included 70% of the student body. So.
Thank you. Representative Brown.
Well, I saw yesterday a sign in the audience that said, we support Cornell Cinema. Well, no, that's not really true. We all support Cornell Cinema. Every undergraduate student at Cornell, 13,000 of us support Cornell Cinema. And yes, 70% do attend a movie, but 30% do not. So my vote for 870 or for a lesser allocation, not 1025, will be for those students who, pay $11 a year or pay $8 a year, do not go to a movie. And that is why I'm voting.
I just want to thank everyone for coming here today. I was actually on the Appropriations Committee, and many of you might have read my blog on our essay, WordPress, and I actually defended my decision for voting for 860. However, after hearing from all your support and reading the rationales from people like Tyler and everyone else, Ian, everyone that emailed us, I've had a lot of time to think about this. And my idea is, as representatives, we are representatives of our student body. Maybe we don't believe that Cornell Cinema is representative of us, but it's representative of our community, it's representative of Cornell University.
I believe that cutting to 860 would indeed jeopardize a lot of what Cornell Cinema has to offer. And while I was for 860 at the time of the appropriations consideration, I've kind of amended my ideas and taken into account a lot of the things that students have said to us. I think that it would go against what we are as a student assembly to not listen to students that are upset about this. Obviously, this room full of support does show that students do care about this university. When we had other people come to appeal to us, it was literally just the heads of other organizations. This is actually students, not even people that are running the Cornell Cinema, that are coming to talk to us. Now, I don't know if I'm going to vote for 1025 because I still want to hear both sides of the issue, but I do want to encourage everyone on the Student Assembly to think about increasing our student support for Cornell Cinema and also thinking of other numbers in between 860 and 1025 that will at least give you guys some wiggle room and at least give you guys some more support if everyone's not comfortable with 1025.
Thank you. Lloyd Elman.
Good afternoon. My name is Lloyd Elman. I'm a junior in the College of Agriculture and Life Sciences. And this is going to sound a little repetitive because it seems to be the theme of the day, but I'm going to go ahead and talk about it anyway. I have no formal affiliation with Cornell Cinema other than as a customer. And so rather than argue statistics, I want to speak to you as simply one of the students that elected you in the Student Assembly. Each member of this governing body represents a school, a graduating class, or an interest group on Cornell's campus. The operative term here is represent. As representatives, you've been tasked with reflecting the needs and desires of your constituents. Each member of this organization is a figurehead for a large, diverse, open-minded community of undergraduates, and you have a responsibility, as such, to carry out their demands. Many of you have expressed through both actions and words your surprise at the scale and passion of the outcry by supporters of Cornell Cinema. Not all of these reactions have been positive. In fact, some members have felt overburdened by what essentially amounts to the cornerstone of a functional democracy, that is, citizen participation. Yes, the cinema supporters have been adamant, but I encourage you to put aside your predispositions, put aside your personal feelings, whichever way they might align, and respect the responsibility of your position, given to you not by right, but by the students that voted based on the opinion that each of you would best represent them. So, as a peer and a constituent, I ask that you put aside your personal politics and respect the voices of the thousands of students that spoke out in the past week in support of Cornell Cinema. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone from the SA who hasn't spoken who would like to speak? Okay, moving on to the second speaker's list.
You
spoke already. Oh, okay, Representative Bourne.
I just want to say that one thing that we should have to keep in mind that, I can't remember the name of the person who mentioned it, is that this is really not a you versus us issue, and I would really appreciate if someone could keep that in mind.
All right, thanks. No, you may not. Representative Desai. You spoke it. Oh, go ahead.
I just wish I could have heard more comments like that over the past 2 weeks. I think what I was looking for from a freshman perspective, because I don't necessarily know enough about all the organizations on campus, so how I looked at appropriating money was, you know, seeing how much of an impact it has to all the students. So I wanted to see a story from all the testimony over the past few weeks about how this cinema affected, you know, all the students on campus. And I think the majority and the most and the strongest feedback that I read over the past few weeks was from alumni and from Cornell Cinema staff. And the majority of the people who came and spoke during meetings were Cornell staff. So what I was really looking for in you know how I approached this appropriation decision was more comments from, you know, regular students across campus who are in any way affiliated with Cornell Cinema.
Okay, community member David Y.
Hi, my name is David Bly, and I want to talk about five. This is a little strange. I think you'll understand what you were about to say. My parents were both students here. They met here. They got married. Actually, three, four, and up coincidentally, there's a photo up there with a picture that my father's in. Okay. Because of this, I grew up here. I went to Cornell Cinema before I was actually at Cornell. So I know Cornell Cinema for a long, long time, the long before Mary or Chris were even there. Now, the thing is, Cornell is not known for having a national reputation in a lot of things. The hockey team, sometimes. The basketball team, rarely. But otherwise, no, not in sports. But Cornell has a national reputation for Cornell Cinema. There are often traveling shows of films that are sent from other countries, from Britain, from Canada, and they are those films are shown in New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, and very few other places, but often Ithaca is one of those. They may not show in Philadelphia. They may not show in Houston, but they will show in Ithaca. And that is something very special and very unique. And that is something that Cornell as a university and you as Cornell students need to be proud about. Earlier this week, or maybe it was last week, this very body put a resolution out saying that they decried the administration in trying to get rid of Dutch and Swedish languages. One of the few organizations, as shown in that film, where students could actually hear Dutch and Swedish spoken, is at Cornell Cinema. And that is why Cornell Cinema is not just an educational outlet, but it is not just an entertainment outlet, but an educational outlet where unique films that students would never see anywhere else in the world would not see otherwise. They may not see a film series in Boston. They may not get that at Harvard, but they will get it at Cornell. They may not see a film series at Princeton. They will get it at Cornell because of Cornell Cinema. And that's why you need to restore the funding.
Thank you. Anyone else who hasn't spoken from the USA who would like to speak? If you haven't spoken yet and would like to speak. Okay, moving on to the second speaker's list. First up is Representative Desai.
Before I talk, I would really like to thank everyone who's been here. I'd especially like to thank members like Ian and Tyler. Tyler sent me, I think it's on the blog, but he sent me about like a 3-4 page email of really strict rationale, well thought out. And, that's the type of support that I've really been impressed by over these last few weeks. So I'd like to thank all of you for doing that. Just some of the topics that I'd like to, touch on really quickly that have been brought up for and against cinema. So as far as, I don't think the Student Assembly is demanding that cinema be turned into a volunteer-based organization. I think that was a recommendation that might have been brought up. I personally don't agree with that. I don't expect you guys to do that. So make sure that you don't incorporate a suggestion with, the perspective of the entire Student Assembly. As far as no money being spent on student wages, this is something that I still haven't been able to grasp. No matter what, the money that you guys are asking for in your budget, you guys have money allocated for student wages. So whether the money we give you goes to student wages or not, if you don't spend our money on student wages, then some other money in your budget is going to have to pay for student wages that could have originally been spent on whatever we're originally giving you the money for. So no matter what, that's going to happen. Also, because you're facing a deficit, you don't have excess money to go into a bank account. So that could have been an argument like, the money you're giving us is going into storage. But because you told us and the GPSA that none of our money is going towards student wages, I just don't see how the math works out in that situation. Also, a representative brought up the idea of school taxes, that he doesn't have children, but he pays for school taxes. And I think Blaster mentioned the fact that he's never seen a movie, so why should he have to pay for it? I've never been to a Cornell Cinema movie, and I'm perfectly okay with paying for enough money to make sure the organization can run and function. That being said, I'm not okay with spending more than that money in order to make it, I've said this before, in order to let it run at an optimal rate. So, the equivalent, in my eyes, would be EMS asking us for a $5 increase so that it can run like a 24-hour ambulance. That being said, I am in support of Cornell Cinema in raising it somewhat. I don't know if I'd be in favor of the full 1025 increase, but based on the support you guys have shown, based on the rationales I've seen, and based on the changes that I hope that you said you will make, that I hope you will make, I hope that we do get something worked out in the compromise issue.
All right. Before I go on to the next speaker, keep in mind that the amendments of 1025 was proposed, but I'm going to allow other amendments to be proposed as well. And go ahead.
Can I propose on 950?
950. Okay. Got Representative Smith.
I went a couple weeks ago and I saw the bird and I thoroughly enjoyed it. But I think more of us actually need to go and experience this before we actually sit here and try to catch it. I want to thank Tyler because you totally played me on this. You took the time out to email, send very long emails, and they were very well thought out and everything. The idea of doing free movies and yada yada that Danzo proposed, I don't agree with that. How can they be expected to cover all of their costs while enduring the deficit they already have? And then you want them to do their care, or care if they should cut the keyword off of the data. That doesn't make sense. Also, maybe we don't all have emotional ties to the cinema like they all do. But as Representative Brett said, it is our job to represent these people. And I'm sorry, but a lot of the other issues that have been brought before us, like the whole King Lover thing and some of the other issues that have been brought, I don't remember seeing all those people in an FA meeting. In every FA meeting like these people have been in, their passion has been unrivaled by anybody else. And I think it's our job, it's our duty as FA members to support them right now. Even if you don't pay them $11, you should at least meet them halfway with 10.25 or something. They give them time. Give them all the ideas you guys are proposing, it makes sense. But maybe you should sit down and talk to them about it. If you give them 10.25, it's stipulation. And also, with the situation that they work with you, work with them, and whatever administrative bodies, whoever else would be involved, you guys sit down, talk about it, come up with ways that they can reduce their funding. If you guys are helping them or putting them on the right track to reduce their funding, then by the time the next cycle comes around, they won't have to ask for anything. They can go lower. They can be prepared to do that.
That's time. Lori Wagner.
Just to address the us versus them comment, I know that you can't read everyone's email, what everyone has said back to people from Cornell Cinema who have contacted you, but I actually had the chance to meet an SA member a few days ago, just in a casual environment, and just mentioned I would be here. His exact words to me, oh, you are the enemy. This is completely spiraled out of control, and I've read a lot of the emails that these people have received, and a lot of these sentiments have been reflected in these emails, and yet we're still here and we're still standing strong and trying to separate. I met with the SA this week. It was a great meeting. We worked together in a small group, and I think that the problem that we have as people who go to the cinema is these goals that you want us to meet, to me they seem rather unclear, and we don't have exact steps of how we can meet these goals. We want to meet these goals. We don't want to take everyone's money. That's ridiculous. All that we want is for our cinema to be at the same quality that it is today. And we would definitely be willing to work together and figure out those steps. But the solution is not to cut tens of thousands of dollars and then expect for everything to be okay. And then we are the people who are coming up with these solutions. And to date, if we haven't been able to meet these goals, how are we going to do that without this money when already we're cutting programming? It's not the same thing as before. And we're scrambling to deal with this deficit while also trying to meet these unclear demands that we do want to meet by working together.
Thank you. Richard Baker.
So for me, I think the other difficult thing, you know, that you're absolutely right with the discourse here, has been talking back and forth between the Appropriations Committee that looks at dollars and cents, because at the end of the day, what we have to do is we have to allocate a dollar and cents amount, and all of you guys who feel so passionately about Cornell Cinema as an institution. So for us as Assembly members, it's our responsibility to balance essentially your desires to see Cornell Cinema flourish as an organization with our responsibility to find a dollar amount that enables that to happen as much as possible, while still recognizing that it's our responsibility to be as fiscally conscious as responsible with the university and with your tuition money. So when it comes down to it, really the reason that Cornell Cinema has difficulty year after year after year with filing funding is the fact that Cornell Cinema is the only institution where students are being asked to provide complete programmatic support rather than just support for student activities. This is the student activity fee. It isn't the program support fee. The university should be providing a lot more support for Cornell Cinema than it is. Unfortunately, it's not. Therefore, when we're asked to come in and provide programmatic support, we run into this kind of roadblock where we are right now, where we're talking past each other. So really the difficulty, as I see it, is that when you look at the assembly and what the assembly should be asking for to cover operations of Cornell Cinema, I think, what is it? The assembly that's covering the same proportional amount of just operations should only be funding cinema at $5 and I think $5.80, which is less than half of, you know, what cinema is asking for. So that's really the difficulty that I see it today, that where we want to go long term, where the university is essentially paying the amount that it should and then undergraduate students are shouldering the amount that they should, is half of where we're at right now, of half of where cinema is asking for. So how do we get there? How do we realistically look at cinema and say, how can we either restructure it, how can we get the administration to, you know, play their part, to really move forward in a way that's not going to have the assembly paying $11.75, $12.75, $13.75, each funding cycle increasing to cover more subsidies and more deficits? And to me, the answer is that we have to sort of really set a precedent, and we have to sort of stand firm in a way that, as an assembly, mandates change over the next 2 years. In a way that's not easy to brush aside with minor visions and really sets forward with, you know, a bold goal that cinema obviously is going to have to, you know, really look at their own operations and make changes, and that this is not going to be something that's going to be imposed, but really what I want this decision to do is I want our allocation to catalyze change. So really, you know, for me, I don't know that 860 is necessarily the right allocation, but I don't think that 1025 is the right allocation.
Would you like to make any amendments? Or?
No.
Okay.
Can I respond to that?
We'll put you on the speaker's list. Okay. VP Kumar.
So, you know, we've had discussion over the past, you know, hour and a half or so. I still, first of all, I don't know where the I'm very unclear why the $40,000 wasn't included in the budget you provided us.
We hadn't scheduled.
So you came up with the $40,000 after the initial allocation that we provided, right? After we said $860,000, you came up.
We've always known it would be $40,000.
So why was it in the budget?
Because we hadn't scheduled it to be done. We were sort of trying to wait until the last
minute
to do it.
When did you schedule it?
It doesn't happen soon, Michelle. Basically, the projectors are 70 years old. They break like this.
Okay.
We actually don't really want to
okay.
wait until they break.
All right, that's so, fair. You know, I think it's really important. First of all, I really want to commend Tyler and Lauren and Ian for meeting with us this past week. You guys have shown a tremendous amount of leadership throughout this entire process. And I think, you know, when we allocate the student activity fee, we are allocating it to student leaders like you three and other folks in this audience. My proposal, you know, the framework for a proposal that I want to bring next semester is to essentially establish a separate registered student organization, as, you know, Vince Andrews had talked about it a little bit last week too, to basically control non-educational programming. So what would happen is, you know, we wouldn't be funding Cornell Cinema as an institution. We would be providing funding for a registered student organization, student-directed, student-led, that would be handling these funds. But anyway, you know, as we've discussed, it's really a shame that we didn't have these conversations earlier in the semester, but certainly that's something we want to work with you guys towards in the future. But again, you know, 860, again, the Appropriations Committee has taken into account the reserve. We still don't have an idea of what the minimum amount of reserve should be. So really, again, it comes down to what would we be getting from 860 to 1025. I still don't have a clear answer, so I'm going to be voting no on the 1025 amendment.
All right, David Dixon.
Hi, thanks. My name is David Dixon. I'm a graduate of the Fine Arts Department. I wasn't really sure what my role was here when hearing the budgetary conversations. I certainly don't know, and I respect the complicated issue of
and it's a fiscal responsibility. But I do also thank you for saying that you wanted to hear students who basically are passionate about Cornell Cinema and its values, which I can speak to that. So as a grad student coming from New York City and having access to it was a difficult choice to come to Ithaca. Actually, I felt somewhat like I was being put into exile. So Film Forum, of course, was world-renowned theater in New York, and nowhere near, actually, the theater of Cornell Cinema, which is pretty phenomenal. The programming rotates, like, say, every 2 weeks, so here we have it every night, and there's always something different new to see. The theater space itself is fabulous here, much better than Film Forum. So we really have, as many people have pointed out, an incredible cultural advantage. I'm sorry that the BT left here, because I wanted to speak a little bit formally about cinema as the sort of internet element where you download the cinema and watch it at home, as opposed to going to a theater and seeing it live. I understand that that's somewhat atavistic and it may even be something that's happened, but like jazz or symphonic music, it's something that culturally will be and should be preserved. We're not actually asking for a new theater, We already have the amazing theater. And Mary, in her programming, myself as an artist as well, cinema is adopting or adapting to this change. And there are, and much of the programming from last year and recently, there's a lot of live elements to these cinema experiences. I don't know, with bands, but even more complex conceptually than that, to bring it, to maintain the sort of a life of cinema in this new age of digital accessibility. Okay, thank you.
All right.
So, a lot of, first of all, I want to make something very clear, because I think a lot of this is getting this lost in the back and forth, and that is, personally, both as an individual that goes to Cornell University, as a representative on the student assembly, I absolutely support Cornell Cinema. I value the richness that Cornell Cinema brings to our campus. The problem is that, the question is, how much monetary support should we give to Cornell Cinema? And that's the real question here. I would never propose fully cutting Cornell Cinema from the student activity fee. I think that the program absolutely deserves our support. The question is, what does that support look like? So at the current allocation of $860, that's approximately somewhere between $35,000 and $40,000. Seems like quite a large amount, and it is quite a large amount. A lot of people have said that one person mentioned that it was unclear what the student assembly wanted to see from Cornell Cinema to make up for this amount. So I came up with a rough idea, which obviously is not final, obviously is not binding, but it's something that should be looked into. The first step would be possibly turning one-third to one-half of all Cornell Cinema current paid student jobs into volunteer jobs. It may not be the easiest thing in the world. I think it's doable. Rather than direct pay, I think what could be used was incentive pay. I'm not proposing holding free movies. I think that was confusing. I'm proposing allowing the person who runs the booth to, then go in and see the movie for free. I think that is, if you're not the majority are, then I think that is a fair amount of pay then. I think you could fund a volunteer as a student as the student activity fee is meant to fund student organizations. And I think student organizations should be student run, student led, and volunteer. For students to be paid, I think, is a misuse of the student activity fee. The second part of that, because that would not save the full $35,000 or so, would be to increase ticket prices by about 50 cents. 50 cents is not a lot, but it would shift the burden of paying for this program to the people who really use the program. 30,000 people attend Cornell Cinema movies each year, according to the statistics that were given to us. 50 cent increase would equal $15,000. That should be able to make up the rest of it.
Right.
And I think that...
That's
all right. Yeah.
All right.
Could
Dan
show another just a little snippet that we actually
address
some of that?
He can get on the speakers with him. And he can speak. I don't think we have time to. We'll get to you. Representative Blackson. He'll put you on the
list. Okay, cool.
I'd like to be a little incorrect here. Just so I know, if you're in just for undergrads only, please. If you're in Calisthenics, please raise your hand. Alright. If you're in architecture? arts and sciences. Engineering. One. Okay. Hotel administration.
Yes.
Okay. And ILR. So I'm an engineering representative. It's my job to represent engineers. And as you see from this room, there's a lot more people from other schools than I think one person here outside of me and Mike, who's an engineer. So I have to vote in order to help my constituents, which are engineers, and if they are not attending these movies in the right proportion, or they're doing things that don't need them being very dedicated to Cornell Cinema, then it's my job as an engineering representative to vote in their favor. And from my survey of this audience, I'm going to conclude that,
I
don't see that many engineers over here. I'm the engineer, so I'm voting in their favor. And also, I like to say, movies are privileges, not rights. And I think you guys should have the ability to see movies. However, I think you should pay for the privilege of seeing the movie, not shifting the burden of paying for the movie onto other people as well. And like, I think you guys should have the cinema, but I think ticket prices should be higher, so people seeing the movie should pay for it. Thank you.
You apply to stand all
please,
the
Mary. Thank you. Sorry.
I don't.
David Dixon.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Andrew Brockman.
I just had a question. It's a point, but you spoke before about how because Yesday funds $5,000 to pay students for being clerks and stuff, that's how you evaluated Cornell Cinema. I was wondering, did the ESA pass a resolution last year allocating $10,000 over the summer for web designers to update the site?
For the SAC, yeah.
But it wasn't SA money, it was SAC money, is that what you're saying?
It's one of the administrative...
Well, either way, it's our student activity fee funding $10,000 for students, right?
Yeah.
Okay, sure.
Representative Rao, would you anyone who wants to be on the second speaker? So, Representative Mintz. Yeah, this second.
So, first of all, in response to David's comment about setting a precedent, I think if we were to actually have discussed, we would set a precedent, a very negative one at that, in which we would, again, as a student assembly, be detracting away from the program that has really flourished over the past, from the beginning, almost from the beginning of the Cornell conception. And I think, number two, as they have stated in the past, at yesterday's meeting, I think if we were to provide them with a raise to 1025, come back 2 weeks later, I think Mary has assured us that she would provide us with a promise of trying to lower that and really work with the administration to lower that in the first place. So I think really setting that precedent for them to come back 2 years later and show how they've been working with administration to really lower the student activity so that they can become more university funded instead of student funded is really a promise in and of itself for the future of Cornell Cinema. Second of all, in regards to attendance, which I feel like is a really strong point of contention, I think a lot of the organizations that we're funding under the BSC, the Student Assembly, really go under minority groups. We're talking about a lot of it targets minority students. We're talking about even it targets the LGBTQ community. We're talking about the Women's Resource Center. We're talking about women. And I don't think necessarily it's really about what we're targeting per se, per organization, but we're really looking at the whole, how it affects the student body. And if we're simply talking about attendance, I wouldn't necessarily care if 20,000 students, as we say, come or 10,000 students go to Cornell Cinema. I think it's really about the principle in which we support these programs that really are educational as well as provide an entertainment outlet for students to be able to attend. So I really don't think that the attendance should be that big of an issue, seeing as though a lot of the other things that we're funding for in the student activity to be those two things that really target other minority groups on campus. And I think all students should have an outlet to be able to use the creative side.
Thank you. Anyone else who wishes to be on the second? Yeah. Okay, we'll move on to the third speaker, this representative of the side.
So just to come back with a couple more arguments for why I think that there should be at least 8 cuts, since I know you guys came back asking for $11 again, so this is just my rationale for why I feel there should be 8 cuts, not necessarily cuts at least 60. So again, based on what VP Kumar said, like I'm on his side as far as the $40,000 go. I don't see how right now you can declare that this was $40,000 that you knew you would have to be spending. Yet, I mean, when did they make the budget they proposed to us? If you made this in the past couple of months, right? The budget you created that you proposed to us. So you knew that there was a guaranteed fact that you were going to spend this $40,000, but you didn't include that when you proposed the budget to us at the beginning of the year.
I think probably in our proposal we were sort of glad we had the reserve in place, so we did explain it in there. It's in our proposal.
Okay, but
not there because we had to schedule it,
but yet,
in our proposal that we would need the reserve for that purpose.
So you claim that you didn't allocate $40,000 for this, but you decided to say that you were going to use reserve money on that, yet you did specify that you were going to be spending $15,000 on another projector in your assault. So I don't see how there's a difference between the $15,000 you knew you were going to spend on that and the $40,000 you knew you were going to spend on whatever this digital projector is. So that's just like a problem I have. As far as, you know, other things go, I'm a proponent of you guys cutting down on your costs and becoming a more efficient organization. A lot of people have sent me emails saying that, you know, you guys have done this over the past, you guys have been cutting costs. So looking at, you know, some of your financial decisions the past couple of years, from the 2006 to 2007 year to the 2007-2008 year, you guys increased the amount of money you spent in expenses by $34,000, and in that time period, your revenue dropped by $23,000. So by my math, for every dollar you guys spent, you lost $1.50 in revenue. So that's just not good financial planning to me.
That's America.
Please. 10 seconds.
Okay. So you know, just to conclude, you know, I am a supporter of Cornell Cinema. I do feel you guys have a lot to offer the campus, but if you guys are going to ask us for an increase in revenue, I feel like there just has to be better information presented and better planning. And I have to feel like I'm giving my money to a more fiscally responsible organization.
Okay. We'll now go on to a community member, Ian. And if everyone could please try to minimize their comments outside of the speakers, that would be very much appreciated.
Okay. Hello, everyone. I'm Ian Corvidia. I'm the head house manager at Cornell Cinema. So if you have any questions about what we actually do as student employees, I'd be happy to answer them, as I'm sure it would be a lot of other people. One of the things that's been going on, there's been a lot of repeating of the same points, so I don't want to go into that much, but I would like to address some of the more sort of blatantly untrue sort of claims that have been going around. As head house manager, I oversee scheduling and participate in hiring decisions. That means I know how hard it is to get people to work on weekends, work anytime, really. Students are working for about 5 to 6 hours in an evening, it includes weekends. They're handling hundreds of dollars in cash, handling tens of thousands of dollars in valuable equipment. They're interacting with patrons. They are confined to the projectionist booth, to the concession stand, to the box office during substantial amounts of the film. It's just not feasible to get people to do that for free. And it's a terrible idea. You need some kind of incentive to get people to stop walking away with your bank, with everything else. I mean, the fact of the matter is, I have a hard time scheduling some shifts on weekends and so forth, even with paid employment, right? People are busy, people have work, people have parties, and it's very hard to incentivize people against
20%.
The claim that we can get people to work for free is just not true. I'd like to I have so many points that I don't
know. Most of it's said by 30 seconds.
We have seen an increase in funding from a number of organizations, and I think it's worth considering what sort of organizations those are. I mean, as several people have pointed out, we've gotten increased grant money over the past few years, in 2007 specifically, and a lot of this grant money is arts grant money from the New York Council for the Arts and other organizations that specifically give us money because they are impressed by our financial management, by our programming, and so forth. So suggest that the fact that we're relying increasingly on this grant money, and that's a problem, seems very strange, because the fact that we're getting this money is itself a vote of confidence in the way the cinema is running, and much of that money is allocated is given to us on the understanding that we will do arts funding, that we will do large-scale events that might not be as profitable as the sort of things we get paid by the student activity fee to do. There are so many other things I have to say, but I really hope that you consider this, that you do consider this whole allocation, even if you all personally are opposed to it as a representative body. You should still consider the proposal, given that so many of your constituents do want $11, $11.75. I hope that one of you will at least bring an amendment to consider this.
Okay. Point of information?
What is the vote? Is the vote that the CDSU has to number?
The majority. Representative Nicoletti.
Okay, so through much of this debate, actually, even in the first meeting, I've been pretty quiet. I haven't really spoken much. I've really taken in both sides, that I've heard, and I think it's about right now that I've realized the importance of the cinema. But also throughout the last few weeks, I've seen the outpouring of support for the cinema. To be honest with you, I really don't have a strong opinion about the cinema. I've never been to a movie at the cinema. And that kind of brings it into the fact of, the extra amount of money that students would have to pay to support the cinema would be $1.40 if you're going to go to $10 or, $1.65. And that's like half a cup of coffee, right? And for students that don't really care either way, which, there are some in universities, $1.65 for 1 year, out of their pocket, just they don't get half a cup of coffee, for a group that really does care so much, that would be willing to pay far and beyond what the entire student activity fee is for somebody. I mean, I have to say, just give the group the benefit of the doubt. Just give them the extra $1.40, $1.65, because to most students, that doesn't even matter. But to a group of students, that really does matter. So that's my personal opinion.
Thank you.
There was a movie that we watched in my college called The Garden, and essentially it was about a group of Hispanic people who had a garden, in a community garden in the middle of Los Angeles, and the government tried to shut them down, and essentially the government succeeded, and they lost that garden. But that garden was their livelihood. They lived there. It was everything to them. They lost it. And I think, essentially, if we end up cutting a lot of this money, we're going to do the same thing. They're going to end up losing some of the stuff. Of course, they might not be the same extent because I'm sure they have a lot of support, as we see. But still, it's important. I can't answer your question about programming and all that great stuff. I'm not good with the money thing. I can just tell you that they're willing to work with you. They're willing to work with all of us. They're willing to find the solution. We need to reach middle ground here. I think 225 is middle ground. I think that's pretty good. And there are a lot of activities that go on here that I never go to and don't plan on going to, but I pay for it because it is conducive to the educational atmosphere here. I am not a member of any Greek organization, NGLC, yada yada. I'm definitely not going to ride bikes in the cold. I'm from Florida. But it makes people happy, and it's our job to see all these people happy. So I'm good with it. I'm down with all of you. We're down like 2/5 pilots.
All right, next up on the speaker list is President Salem.
Yeah. Oh. I'm supposed to be unbiased as the chair, so I'm stepping down temporarily as the chair and letting Nikhil take over. I agree that there's been definitely a lot of passion shown by the students here. I'm very impressed by it. And all my time on the student assembly, I don't think I've seen as passionate as a group willing to attend meeting after meeting and showing their support. And that definitely can't be ignored. However, I'm not a fan of arbitrary allocations. You know, I think it's been said 1025 is some sort of middle ground, but there's been so far no justification provided, despite the fact that multiple people have asked. So I honestly don't know. So I think the reason why there's been a lot of communication talking past each other is because there's disagreement on the figures. And I think we need to take next semester to really come down to it and, you know, really take a deep, thorough look at everything and bring in students and faculty and staff and really figure something out. So I'm going to make it another amendment. I'm going to propose $9.80, and that is because we, at $8.60, we're funding none of the student employments except for $5,000. And now we're going to be funding half of the student employment. And even with the proposal of having a separate student-run organization and such, I think whatever money we fund, if we were to fund excess money, that would go into that student organization, would then have more for programming. And in 2 years down the road, we would see how that functions. But if, I'm glad Andrew Brockman's recording now, if we were to fund that an increase from the $8.60 that would propose, would you, Mary, be willing to work with us? And Dean Hubble and Amy have proposed to form a committee of students, faculty, staff, graduate students to help figure something out for the future.
As I said yesterday, we're very interested in lowering our dependence on the student activities fee. Very, very interested. But what I ask is that because you can't kind of come up with alternative sources of funding, you know, really quickly, it will take time. That's why I proposed yesterday that you fund us at 11, which is maintaining our funding, so it gives us that time over 2 years. I can say to you that yes, we can certainly, you know, sit down at a committee over the next few months, but it's going to be harder. The thing is, if you cut our funding from $11, it means not only will we need to deal with the $15,000 shortfall that we already face, we'll have to deal with whatever shortfall your cut imposes on us. And so it means our energy and time has to go in with how do we deal with that, whereas I would like to have our energy and time to deal with the long-range situation here, to basically try to divest of student activity fee money below $8. Yeah. That's really my goal, and I am very motivated. So,
so you really will make it much easier for us to focus on that long range goal if you don't grow. And you know, certainly not below the 1025. I would have to consider $11.
You're right.
All right. Thank you.
You're right.
You made a motion. You made a motion to amend the amendment. You could vote on this amendment.
Could I just make a motion to recess for 5 minutes?
Yeah.
So
we'll be back at the next class. So 5:30, 5:35.
We were going to take numbers.
vote
that's wrong. We can't do that.
What? It's all in order?
Yeah,
we have to, we like,
that's not how they did that.
Yeah, but we follow parliamentary procedure.
Yeah. No, I'm saying the DBS thing, do it differently.
Look at that.
What we're doing essentially is doing what the Appropriations Committee does,
right,
which is throw out numbers and then vote for
them. We're trying to bring it back to policy. We're going to do Robert's rules. Right now, we are the only thing we're discussing right now.
It's 10:25.
That's the only thing we should be talking about. Right. And the only, if someone wants to change that amendment, it has to be deemed friendly by the original amendment.
Right.
And if it's unfriendly, then we have to vote on it and then discuss the amendment.
Right. So
that's right.
So, but what we could do in order to avoid having this whole conversation again is simply when a new amendment is brought forward, simply going right into a vote, like having the first person call that question.
Well, there's going to be debate over it.
Right.
I mean, unless someone calls it.
The way that it should work, the way that...
I mean, we should have been voting on my...
Technically, the optimal way to, like, the appropriation way where you just throw out numbers and talk about it. But Robert's rules, we talk about every number.
Exactly. This is a piece of legislation, not a appropriation.
Are you recording it?
Were they receptive?
So, we have to, like, this can't be like, oh, I like
that.
Okay.
All right.
I have lots of time.
We're coming back into session. Thank you for your patience, everyone. All right, if everyone can please take their seats. Lemieux.
Do you want to join in for two?
Yeah, then, well, we're not voting down. Alright, then, yeah, you can put your on the
Okay. Alright, so there have been three allocations proposed, three new allocations separate from the 860. The first amendment, since this is a resolution that was made, was for $10.25. And some people have adjusted, some people have suggested other numbers, but now the number on the floor is $10.25, and that's what we're going to vote on right now. So,
and just point of information, so if that vote fails, then we go back to discussion of the entire question, and people can get on the speaker's list, and the SA member can make a motion for, as Romeo did, for 950, 980, all that. But
I can call the question.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you can, yeah.
You can.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So, unless there is any dissent, will the clerk please call the roll? 10:25.
Okay.
Dissent?
Yeah.
All right.
Vote to vote. Let's vote.
Let's vote to vote. All those in favor of to vote, please raise your hand.
On
10:25.
Yeah.
This is only 10:25.
This is a piece of legislation, so each amendment has to be voted on separately. Each potential amendment has to be voted on separately. And so if you think that an allocation other than 10:25 is right, you should vote. You should vote no here. If you think 10:25 is the right allocation, you should vote yes here.
This is voting to vote.
Right.
Hands
now
up again, please.
Vote.
If you want to vote. Yeah. I'm not sure.
All those against? Okay, so the motion fails, so we're going to continue the debate on 1025.
The motion was, point of information, motion was to overturn the decision of the chair. That needs a majority. It did not have a majority, so we go ahead and vote. Yeah, so nine people,
Okay, so now we're still going to open up the speaker's list back up for 1025. And
you have to vote this down first.
Okay. This is on the floor. Okay, first up is Representative Welch.
Okay, thank you. So, you are the most reasonable, rational, logical nice people I ever
met. Is Grossman recording this?
We have the recording.
So, you want to know why it should be 1025 as opposed to 860? What program is it? So, obviously, if we cut it to 860, they're going to have to cut the program because it's not feasible to have student volunteers. They've voiced that over and over again. So the programs they have to cut, if we got to 1025, then they would probably bring some of those programs back, I'm assuming. So does that answer your question somewhat?
Yes.
And hopefully that will change your vote. All right. Now, Don Rao, you are the Mexican Science representative, right?
One of three, yes.
Okay. So most of the people here, as per Glass's little survey, are Team Tired. So I know you don't go to the cinema a lot, and you don't feel that it's right maybe for your MIT side. But a lot of your constituents who does. And so, as their representative, you should, I know, follow what they're saying.
My constituents be 4,000
people. Well, I need to talk to more. Hold on.
John.
So, what's maybe talk more than just John here, but I feel like you're the nice body of representative of your constituents. Zach Glasser, you, engineering may not be here, which is fine. But I'm trying to keep an open mind as we go. That's all I'm here.
Okay, thanks. Speaking of which, Representative Brow is next on this meeting.
Yeah. I don't really think much has changed now that we're in a room here as opposed to 3 weeks ago or even yesterday when we were doing the same thing. I think sentiment has changed, and I think the reason for that is because we're in this room when we're with a lot of people who support this. And I know how easy it is to come out and tell people what they want to hear. But I think part of being a representative is not necessarily making a popular decision, sometimes it's making a decision that you think is right.
Please.
I kind of question those who have all of a sudden been seen the light bulbs, been swayed by this. Are they doing it because they think it's right, or are they doing it because they're worried about the election in March?
Okay. Aaliyah Simpson?
She's gone. So
she's gone.
We have Lauren Wagner.
Yeah. My sister was here, so she's down here. She's a junior who just transferred here from NYU. Absolutely loves Cornell Cinema, so she texted me what she wanted to say. Members of the SA were recently on a committee that just decided to call students' parents after two alcohol or drug violations. So isn't that hypocritical for them to simultaneously work to limit student and drug and alcohol use while cutting funds to an organization that provides an alternative to drinking every single night of the week? I don't believe that any other organization on campus does it. So there's that. And then also, so that 860, I totally get it. You want to send a message, and you said we want to work together to decrease our dependence on the SA, which would be great. But it sends one of two messages. The first is that you have to do something, administration, because the Cornell Cinema can't survive. The second is, which I think is a bit more likely, us as students don't support Cornell Cinema. And no one is going to remember, as someone said at the DCSA meeting, no one is going to remember the debate that went on in this room today, 2 years from now, but they will remember that 860 and what that represents to the entire student community.
Thank you.
Alright, so I've been thinking a lot about exactly, what we've been talking about here. I think there's definitely merit to continuing the discussion in Cornell Cinema, because I think that too much of this has been us talking past each other. I think when this semester comes to a close, there will be a chance throughout the next semester to continue discussions on where Cornell Cinema goes from here. I was just looking at the numbers because essentially that's what we've come here today for. And increasing ticket prices by 50 cents would, and this is of course, you know, not accounting for supply and demand because I don't have the time or knowledge to go into that, would increase revenue by $15,000 approximately. That amounts to a, that would allow a reduction in the student activity fee. Raising ticket prices by a dollar would bring in about $30,000, which would be almost the $35,000 that was cut. I think finding a happy medium there, and I'm going to continue to work out the numbers while we work on this, while we eventually come to vote on this 1025, but I think a happy medium where we do raise funding from 860, because I think that is rather low, but also ensure that we know where that money is going to and where the rest of the money that Cornell Cinema will have to make up is coming from. Having at least a starting basis for that is something that I think is necessary. And a lot of people, you know, especially Executive Vice President Kumar, has mentioned, we need to know, you know, just because you can say 1025 is higher than 850, where is the money going? And where is the money that you're losing coming from? Not a lot of people have been talking about the money. I support Cornell Cinema as an organization. I support what they do. I support the culture. But I do not support a blank check. And I think the question we have to face now is the money, not our support for the institution itself. I think that's a given. And so I'm going to continue to work out the exact dollar and cents. I think all the members of the Student Assembly are on their own grappling with the dollars and cents, and hopefully by the end of this meeting we'll come to some sort of happy middle ground that will allow Cornell Cinema to thrive, but also allow the Student Assembly, you know, to keep fiscally responsible.
Hickory,
do
we currently have a liaison going to the cinema, and could
Phoenix
be changed that if we want to legislate that?
Yes, we can. We don't currently, and we can next semester. VP Basil, and if everyone can please limit their comments to 1025, the amendment on the floor.
So I'd like to read really quickly from the third page of Cinema's budget packet, if any of you guys have it in front of you. Cornell Cinema faced new competition in the form of the internet, and this combined with increasing costs led ticket sales covering less than 50% of operating costs by the end of the 1990s. Cornell Cinema appealed to both the College of Arts and Sciences and the Student Assembly for additional support at this time. In response, the subsidy from the college more than tripled from $20,000 to over $65,000. So since the year 2000, at the end of the 1990s, the total subsidy of undergraduate students has then increased to over $210,000, which is just, again, unbelievable amount of increase in just the last decade. So for me, again, using Representative Danzer's sort of request to look at the dollars and cents, that represents a 14% increase per year in subsidy, which is unbelievable. So again, when it comes down to me wanting to sort of put a stop to year after year after year of 14% increases in subsidies. Right now, we're told to look at a student activity fee increase capped at 4% increase per year. So for me, looking at the student activity fee in a fiscally responsible way, there's no way that I can justify even keeping Cinema's allocation to where it is right now. In my mind, going on for 9 years has gone on long enough.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'd like to go call the question.
Is there any dissent? Okay, we're going to go ahead and vote to vote. All those in favor of voting, please read. Sure.
Can you read the number of community members? Can you just give the number of community members?
Absolutely.
I think that's a useful thing for SA members.
Just actually, a point of information, can we transfer the names on this list to the discussion overall, whether there's some members?
Yeah, we'll do that.
Yeah. There are eight names remaining. Okay. So now we're going to go ahead and vote on the amendment to fund Cornell Cinema at $10.25. Call it Brittany.
Andrew's is not here.
No, I have a question.
Okay.
No.
Basil?
No.
DeLongsong?
No.
Danzer?
No.
DeLucia?
No.
DeFi?
No.
Gitlin?
No.
Glasser?
No.
Junor?
Yes.
Rao?
No.
Rav Rav?
No.
Smith?
Yes.
Welsh?
Yes.
Rosella?
No.
Did I miss anyone who's here? 5 to 13.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. By a vote of 5 to 13 to 0, the allocation of $10.25 fails. So we're now going to go back into discussion. Are there, and the next person on the speakers list can make now make amendments for new numbers. And we have Representative Barbara. Yes, go ahead.
Basically, one thing that I wanted to say is that right now we've come down to this horrible situation where everyone is kind of like a suspect. I think that that's disgusting, and I also think that what's disgusting is the disrespect that we've shown you and that you've shown us. I think all of that needs to stop. Like, down to the core, we're all students, we're all here for each other. Us as representatives, all we're trying to do is represent you, the students. I'm the arts and science representative for 103. I see your passion, and I'd love to represent it. The problem is here, we're in a tricky situation where, to be honest, I don't know if the student activity fee is really the right funding like option for this group. I think you recognize that, Mary, and I think you're trying to do things to change that, which I think is very respectful. And the problem is, what do we do right now to get to the new point where you're funded by some other funding. I in no way want to hurt Cornell students. Not at all. I don't think anyone on the student assembly does. I see people in the audience rolling their eyes, shaking their heads. That's disrespect. And to be honest, like, it definitely hurts. It hurts us. If there's any sort of tension, it's because of that. That's created amongst us. Really, like, I want to vote on a number. Like Randy said, there's been a lot of arbitrary numbers thrown out. 10.25, I voted no, because I want to vote on a number that actually solves this problem. Like, we can't just, like, pick a random number. We need to sit down, Mary, like, what is the number, the minimum amount that you can get by in the next 2 years and start making this change towards a new sort of funding? I'd like to yield the rest of my time to Mary, and maybe you can talk about the number that you need and the steps that you can do to change it.
Yeah.
That's really where we're at. We're just in a tricky situation.
Give us some 30 seconds.
I would encourage you to, if you just voted down 10.25, I mean, I know it seems random to me too, to say 10.25, 10, whatever. The 860 is random to me because I don't feel like that would be a justified number.
They justified it by cutting the...
For me, it doesn't make sense. So basically, in a way, it down to whatever cut there is, that they have to make the program cut. And I hadn't shared this before, but I will let you know the kinds of things that are likely to change, which perhaps would make a difference to you. Maybe you will have to look at the alternative funding. Things like foreign language films that actually contribute a lot to the well-being of international students on campus. Classic films, fewer visiting filmmakers. We respond to requests to get some student organizations to put on special programs, and we've been putting a bill for that. We won't be able to do that so much anymore. The more you cut, the less we'll be able to do these kinds of things. I kind of can't say specifically how many numbers, but that's what it kind of comes down to. I think at this point it's going to be hard to really say a number. We just can't do it. It's not the time to do it. So I think the important thing now is to know that we do want to better dependent on the fee. I'll sign a statement. I'll sign it in blood if you want to. that is a goal. I can say in 2 years we will come back and we will ask for less than 50. I can promise you that. I'll put that in. I'll sign something for that. We're going to have an easier time coming back and asking for that smaller amount if you don't cut our funding that much now. It just makes it that much harder. But I can really guarantee you that we will come back. We are going to figure out something because it's gotten to the point where we understand your concerns. And so I think if you just go to that 10.25, I would say, give us 10 and let us all go home. I promise in 2 years we're going to come back and have some left.
And that's very refreshing. To be honest, what's in a lot of the student assembly's minds is that 2 years ago, it was said that you were asked to make some of these things.
Yeah, actually, that's not true.
Okay.
I just want to say, like, thank you. I will be on the appropriate, or hopefully, if I'm really like it, will be on the appropriation committee. And I hope anyone else who is also a sophomore, we will be like holding you to these.
Sure.
These
Okay. Representative Brown.
Yeah. I just want to propose $10. So, motion to amend
to $10. Okay. And there's a second. Yep. Now we're going to discuss the $10 allocation due to this.
There's a call question.
And there's been a call question.
Second.
There's dissent?
Dissent.
Okay, so we're going to go ahead and vote to vote. All those in favor of calling to question, please raise your
hand. Now you're on the other one.
All those against?
Yeah.
11 to 5? Yes. So we're going to go ahead and vote on $10.
We'll come down there.
You have a question? Yes.
If we approve a number that does not bring the total SAS to a given number,
we can discuss that later, because the way the rules are written, automatically the activity fee would be rounded up to the nearest toll number, with the SASC getting the difference. If you then wanted to amend the SASC's allocation to keep the total activity fee at 216, you can do that later.
Yeah. Go ahead and call it then.
Andrew,
is this proxy?
No.
No, he did proxy.
For $10?
He proxy, well, I mean, he proxied for...
He can't do that.
He can't do that.
So
he's... Okay.
Basil? No.
Shalongsong?
Yes.
Dander?
No.
Jerusha?
No.
Desai?
Yes.
Chitlin?
Yes.
Clacker?
No.
Junwan?
Yes.
Kumar?
No.
Portella?
Pass.
Men?
He proxied, right?
You can't pass. You can't pass.
You can't pass. It wasn't here for discussion.
Okay.
What was the
first
question?
Nicolati?
Yes. Rath? Yes.
Rao?
No. Rabrat?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Well?
Yes.
Desai?
Same.
Hotel?
Yes.
9-6-1.
Okay, by a vote of 9-6-1, $10 is approved. Now, yeah, we still have another amendment on the floor. For Haven, there's been an amendment, a motion.
Oh, I have one for
Cinema. Oh, go ahead.
We're not done here. Okay. Assuming, if, I don't know the elasticity of movie ticket prices, but, if they raise the rates by 30%, then our funding would be at 855. So I would like to close that number.
$8.55?
Yeah, which corresponds to all else equal, 30% raise in ticket prices. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So now, there's been another amendment on the floor to fund cinema at $8.55. And now we're going to open up the speaker's list for that.
Can we motion a vote so we can vote it down and then get out of here?
We have other things.
Point of information, you need a second.
There's a second. Okay, and now Representative DeLongstar. You can.
Yes.
Second.
Is there dissent? And now we're going to vote to vote.
You can explain.
Explain your dissent very quickly.
I withdraw my dissent.
Okay. And now we're going to vote to vote on $8.50.
Yeah, we're just going to vote me.
Sorry, right. Vote for $8.55. Will the clerk please call the room?
Yeah.
Okay, sure. Let's hand them. Mm-hmm. All those in favor of $8.55, please raise your hand. One. Two. All those against.
Okay.
By a vote of 2-13, the amendment fails. Okay. Are there any other amendments regarding Cornell Cinema before we move on?
Yeah, I'd like to motion for $9.50.
Sure. Okay. Is there a second for that amendment?
Second.
There's a second. Okay. And now we're going to open up the speaker's list again for $9.50. D.B. Basil?
Yeah. So I think for everything that we've said today, and I encourage you guys who would like to go to dinner to go to your seats and give this the time that it deserves. I feel very strongly, as I've said, that the inflation rate in the undergraduate and graduate subsidy of Cornell Cinema, having grown so extensively as it has over the last decade, that we really need a very strong signal that reform is an absolute necessity today, not 2 years from now. So I think that $9.50 is the right signal that we need to send, and is the right allocation that we need to allocate.
Are there
questions?
Sure.
$9.50?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Overall, in terms of money.
He'll find out, but now we'll go to a community member, Sinead,
$9.50, another arbitrary number from someone who pretends to know what the numbers are in this whole thing. I don't really understand where you're getting all of this and what you're trying to cut from. If you're trying to cut from jobs, they're all essential. Mary's job is essential. Chris's job is essential. They can't be done by students, fundamentally, because they have to know international laws to get films from Sweden. A student can't call India and say, please send me that film by Deepa Mehta that was actually made in Canada. I mean, it just doesn't work. You can't get it to happen. With students who are undergrads, they're freshmen, they don't know anything. Mary and Chris both graduated college and have been working for like 20 or 30 years here to get it to work. 20 years. 20 years. But they've been working a long time in business just to understand how to run this. And you're asking for students to be involved. Like what Ian does now with scheduling is the absolute maximum of what a student can do in the cinema. And he does it very well, but he can't do anything more. Because you're not involved. No, I mean, you're asking us to program. We can't program. We don't know. We don't know what it all is. And I mean, what would your other suggestions be to cut to $9.50?
Do you want to yield to me?
30 seconds.
Would he answer the question?
If what can
is
yield.
The $9.50 cutting
yeah,
from?
She's yielding.
If it's not cutting student jobs, you're asking.
I think that we want to look to make a lot of changes to Cornell Cinema's budget. I think that's what next semester is going to be looking at. Cornell Cinema is currently spending about, I think it's $10,000 printing the calendars that have movies on them. I think that there's a lot of opportunity for, and this is just direct printing costs, not producing costs. I think that there's a lot of opportunity for looking at a lot of things that are exorbitant expenses. And making things more realistic in Cornell Cinema's budget. Cornell Cinema's budget, for those of you who don't know, is $500,000 per year in expenses. This is an enormous organization. This is the fourth largest organization. This is the, other than the SAC, this is the third largest organization that we fund. I think that there's a lot of opportunity. There's a lot of
leeway. Can I ask how much it costs to print all of your packets and all of your name tags and all of the things you guys do here?
I think it's about $1,000.
And you think those
are,
can just be cut?
That's time, thanks.
What information do you are? Never mind.
Okay. Next on the speaker's list is Representative Dennis.
I've been sitting here crunching numbers. I can show them to you if you'd like me to run through the math.
Go ahead.
So, a 50,
So a 50 cent increase in ticket prices would lead to $15,000. A $1 increase would be about $30,000. I think it's a bit unfair to ask for a $1 increase in ticket prices, but what I do think a happy medium would be is a 75 cent increase. I think that that's not a catch-all. I think that there do need to be additional conversations, but if Cornell Cinema Field, and I understand that Cornell Cinema Field that needs additional time to find alternative sources of funding and other things, so I would like, based on the numbers that I was looking at, in addition to a 75 cent increase in ticket prices, it would be accepted as friendly in amendment to...
No, we have to move this down, please.
Okay, well then I'll...
We can deem it friendly
to your amendment instead of 959.56, because that would be exactly the point. That would fill all the gap left over from the 75 cent increase in ticket prices.
Okay.
For information, after we are finished voting on this amendment, how do we end discussion on the cinema? Right? So that the last number that was approved, and then we go on to pay the account.
You have to vote the whole
Technically, we can't unless until the entire Okay, so as everyone's been following, there's been a friendly amendment to move the allocation up from $9.50 to $9.56. And next on the speaker's list is DPV.
Me?
I spelled
no.
Oh, Representative Ratz.
All right. So basically, I'm very upset with your comment, DP Basil, that you're only voting on $10 just to get to dinner. That's not where this is coming from. This is coming from us sitting here for an hour and a half and listening to both sides of the debate. An overwhelming majority of the student assembly voted for $10. It's ridiculous to say, yes, we support $10, but hey, let's see if we can get enough student assembly members to vote for $9.80, $9.95, $9.98. $10 is what we decided on. I want to end discussion on this however I can. So let's motion to vote on 9:58. Let's vote it down. Let's stop discussion. Let's let these people go home. And let's finish our meeting.
The second. Is there any dissent for the call to question? Okay. Will the clerk please call the roll on $9.56?
Yes.
Belongsong?
No.
Banter?
Yep.
Delusha?
Yes.
Desai?
Yes.
Gitlin?
No.
Blacker?
Yes.
Junoy?
No.
Kumar?
Yes.
Latella?
No.
Men is not here. Nicoletti?
No.
Brack?
No.
Rao?
Yes.
Reverett?
No.
Smith?
No.
Welsh?
No.
7-9-0.
Okay, by a vote of 7-9-0, the amendment fails. Are there any other amendments for Cornell Cinema? Before we move to Hayes. Okay, we'll now be discussing the amendments.
No, there has to be speaker.
I'll get on.
This
is a general discussion on the SAS.
He already made an amendment for him.
Yeah, but it was you got to get that again.
Go ahead, DP Kumar.
Okay. I'll yield to you.
Go ahead.
So I proposed an amendment to Haven's funding, an 11 cent increase to 931. This reflected
231.
To 231, I'm sorry. This reflects a 25 cent total increase from its previous allocation.
Okay. And now we'll open up the debate for 231.
The rationale?
Yeah.
Okay, so the rationale was essentially when the Appropriations Committee, when Haven first came to the Appropriations Committee, it asked for a 69 cent increase. And the Appropriations Committee believed that Haven should be allowed to increase its educational programming, considering the threat of the LGBTQ community. And so what ended up happening was only a 14 cent increase, which essentially provided about $1,800, which, you know, considering the number of different groups, including, you know, there are gay people, there are lesbians, there are bisexuals and transgenders, and there are people that don't affiliate with any of those, Considering that bread, an additional 11 cents would bring it up to about $3,000, which would be, I think, adequate, at least for them to show that they can use this money for a proper educational program.
All right. I'd like to call a question.
There's been dissent. I'm going to... Who wants to be next one? Because it's Vivi Biz.
I'd like to quickly... All right. So basically, the reason the Appropriations Committee made the decision that it did is because Filthy Gorgeous, which is the big LGBTQ annual event, is an event that costs $26,000 and only attracts 500 students. The undergraduate student body is asked to pay, I think, roughly $7,000 for this concert. The Appropriations Committee believed that that was excessive, and I absolutely agree. I think we should cap a contribution to Filthy Gorgeous as an event at a lower amount, which would then give Haven more money for educational and advocacy-based programming. So I absolutely think we should keep our allocation at $2.20.
Representative Brett.
I just want to echo what UT Basil just said. We're actually upping their funding from $2.06 to $2.20 to actually reflect the needed programming that is needed within the community. However, we decided that $2.75 and anything above that would be in excess and a waste of student activity fees. We just had an hour and a half discussion, or 2 hour discussion, on how not to waste their student activity fees, and this added incentive would be more towards programming that already exists and less towards programming that needs to be happening. And the increase that we gave is enough to represent the increase that needs to happen.
Okay, VP Kumar.
I'll just ask a quick question to you. When the Appropriations Committee made this recommendation, what was the response from the A&E Board?
So the Haven E Board decided to accept it because they figured that any increase is better than risking, you know, a decrease in that already. But they do believe that they could increase. Every cent matters for increasing the amount of educational programming that they can have. They disagree with the Filthy Gorgeous, but I mean that's it. I mean someone's always going to disagree with something. But they think any increase will definitely allow them to create more programming to better.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I completely respect you making this amendment, trying to represent your constituency. However, I do think the Appropriations Committee, their rationale was correct, and I think the fact that the Haven Executive Board, was amenable to this, this speaks volumes about the appropriateness of this allocation. So I'll go ahead and call this a question.
Wait a second. Is there a defense? Okay. We're going to go ahead and take a hand vote.
Motion roll call?
Yeah, we'll
all right. Sorry. There's the motion to roll call. Will the clerk please call the roll on $2.31?
No.
Duansong?
No.
Sample?
Yes.
Carissa?
No.
Kasai?
No.
Gitlin?
No.
Glasser?
No.
Junoi?
No.
Kumar?
No.
Rotella?
No.
Nicoletti?
No.
Rash?
No.
Rao?
No.
Rav-Rat?
No.
Salem? Oh, sorry. Smith?
No.
Welsh?
No.
1-14-1.
By a vote of 1-14-1, the amendment failed. And now we're going to open it up to just general student activity fee discussion if anyone wants to make any amendments.
Is that a quick question?
Yeah, the point of it.
Now that we've changed the form of cinema allocation, what's the change to the SAFC and where we have the total SAF?
So right now the total SAF is at $2.17.40. So we could provide an additional 60 cents to the SAFC, which would round up to $2.18, or we could subtract, what would that be, $1.40 to the SAFC?
$1?
40, just 40.
No, it would be $1.40.
Why?
That would be an even whole number.
Okay. Do you have a point?
I have an amendment.
Okay, wait. VP Kumar. Okay, go.
Wait, what's your amendment?
It's not an amendment. I just want to talk.
Okay. Well, then, just reading rounding up anyway.
One second. I just want to make a quick comment and then I'll... Okay, yeah. So, I think when I ran for re-election last year, I made, a pledge to vote against any increase in the student activity fee. So I'm going to be voting against the entire allocation. However, I think... those of you who are voting yes, you have a very good reason to do so.
if you look at increases to the student activity fee in the past, this is an outstanding budget. If you look at a historical perspective, in the past it's gone from $182 to $204. People don't even bat an eye when groups ask for increases. I think the Appropriations Committee, led by Chris Bezos, did an outstanding job of scrutinizing every single group, holding them to a very, very high standard to justify any increase or, you know, any, as we see today, any requests to stay at an even level. So I think this is, you know, a very, very good budget from a historical perspective. You know, again, I would like to see the total increase a little lower, but at the same time, you know, I completely understand those of you who vote yes, because this really is represents the historic budget that I think really reflects a lot of hard work from our Appropriations Committee, our VP for Finance, Chris Bezos, as well as our President, Randy Thielen, who's shown a tremendous amount of leadership throughout this entire process. With that, I'll yield to Glasser. Go ahead.
Okay. I would like to amend that we take that 60 cents that we'll have to go to SAF anyway and bring that to slope day. I'm on the slope day.
You can't do that.
Oh, okay.
Slope day is already funded at $18.
Okay, all right.
So, does anyone else speak to this?
Representative, sorry.
This is like a point of inquiry to, I guess, Chris. Generally, what's the precedent here? And then if, like, because SAFC didn't originally request this money, do they normally have it, like, left over at the end of the year that they keep in reserves? Or, like...
What do you mean?
Like, in general, like, when an allocation changes last minute like this and we have to change the SAFC budget, how does that normally work? And, like,
this wouldn't kick in until next year anyway, but the SAFC sets funding caps so that they give out all the money that they have every, allocated for every semester, every semester.
Okay, so then can I motion to add that to the SAFC?
So you would be, if you want to make that motion, you would be motioning to increase the SAFC to $82.17.
Point of
order? Yeah.
Is the SAFC the only group that we can give that action?
No, you can give it to anyone else.
Okay.
Yeah.
Point of information. What was the number that we had decided on before we called our second appropriations meeting on
As a total dollar? Okay.
Yeah.
So right now the SAFC is funded at $81.57.
Right. What is originally before we had our second meeting?
It was $82.07.
And how much are we giving it with a 50 cent increase?
$82.17.
All right, so we would go back to the original.
But the total activity fee would be $2 higher.
Okay.
All right, next on the speaker's list is President Sale.
Yeah, I'm not making any formal amendments on the floor. I would just like to open up a discussion on slope days allocation. Again, not amending anything, but asking people to justify why they think $3 is appropriate for a slope day. Just to get a better sense, I know we've been fighting every penny, and I think, especially by our standards, $2 is a pretty large increase. But again, this is an opportunity just to justify why you made those decisions.
I mean, obviously, feel free to do that if you.
Okay. All right. Next on the speaker's list is Trustee Walsh.
Okay, I just like to echo comments right there. I as trustee, I leave this cross entirely up to you. But I will say this, that Nathan and I have been getting some questions really past your best flow day and how high and how fast it's been going up. We're going to be continuing to get those questions, especially as the board goes forward and has to approve the student activity fee in January. So please make this decision judiciously and give us good ability to kind of bend your choices or answer questions to your choices. Thanks.
Okay. VP Basil?
Yeah, so I'd like to go ahead and formally propose to amend the SAFC to $82.17.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, obviously, the way things stand right now, this rounding up would happen automatically if I just called the question on the whole activity fee, but I guess I'm sort of defending my rationale. I mean, I do want to give you guys an opportunity as Assembly members to question whether or not we want the activity fee to rise to $218 versus $216. So, I mean, I encourage debate around that number. So basically right now the activity fee at 216 is set to rise by 2.9% per year rate of inflation. This would increase that to 3.37% per year, which is still below our guideline of 4% per year.
Okay.
There's a lot of numbers there.
All right, so there was an amendment to move SAFC's allocation up to $82.17. And first on the speaker's list is VP Kumar.
So I think, rather than increase the entire student activity fee, I think
I echo a lot of President Salem's concern about slope day. I think granting them the $3 increase was not proper. I voted against doing that in committee. So I would be much more favorable towards, instead of allocating $0.60 to the SAFC, I'd be more in favor of cutting $1.40 from the increase of slow pay. So they would go from $15 to $16.40 instead of $15 to $18 to $16.40. $18
to $16.40.
I'm an ILR guy, so it's nasty. $16.60, right? Okay, so I'd much rather we cut slow pay's allocation from $18 to $16.60 rather than increase SAFC's to
$22.70.
Sure. So if
we
cut
the numbers you just said, we will not be giving them a chance to show support like we did
for
them, right?
Yeah, you're right.
No, I did let Dan know that it was a possibility that slope day would be discussed today.
And
what? He said he would try to make the meeting
today. Oh, but you have a slope day liaison.
We do have a slope day liaison.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Next on the speaker
list. It would be final.
It would be final.
Yeah. Next on the speaker list is Jeff.
Yeah. I think that there is definitely merit to cutting slope day, and I think if the trustees are getting worried, then that definitely reflects that we need to take a look at it. But I'm just curious, and I'll yield to whoever wants to take it. Would it be possible to vote on, delay the acceptance of the student activity? No, it would not be, because I think it is kind of not right to allow Slope Day to bring support. You know, I think, you know, one of the reasons why Cornell Finland has been able to bring support is because they had a tangible cut that was made. I think that, you know, giving Slope Day a $3 increase doesn't really incentivize them to bring people or to show up, and I think that we should give them some sort of chance, but I don't know.
So I guess I'll try to provide both the rationale appropriations committee and my own support for that $3 increase. So essentially, and I have a couple packets of slope based budget as well if you're interested in looking at it.
Oh yeah.
Basically the increase of $3 to slope day was made for several reasons. Number one, in the next year, slope day is anticipating the loss of administrative support of about $35,000, which is practically our entire increase to slope day, due to the fact the university is no longer going to be supporting security costs for slope day through CUPD. So right now, CUPD eats the cost of their additional security for slope day, because they have to bring in officers from other schools. That amounts to a total cost of $35,000 per year. So if the university over the next year, which is likely at this point, decides to withdraw that support, then basically slope day is returned to budget neutral to where they were right now in terms of being able to offer an artist honorarium. That said, there are also numerous safety and student health issues to contend with about having a sufficient artist honorarium. Gannett studies have shown a strong correlation between artists and student drinking unsafely on slope day, namely that worse artists contribute to higher rates of alcohol poisoning. To me, reducing cinema's allocation and then potentially having them have a loss of $35,000 towards an artist, because basically cinema has it's been 2 hours. Slope day has fixed costs of their event, no matter what artist they bring, of about $180,000 to $200,000 for the event. So if they bring, you know, Joe's banjo band, it still costs $200,000. If they bring, you know, Jay-Z, it costs $200,000 to hold the event, not including the artist honorarium. So essentially that allocation to increase money to slope day is a huge effect to their flexibility to ensure the kind of quality they have been bringing in the past and indeed increase that quality in the future.
Okay. Remember that the amendments regarding SAFC is still on the floor,
yeah.
So we're still discussing that and we'll be voting on that. Representative Rex.
I just want to bring up the point that we did approve a float day's budget, the entire assembly did, earlier in the semester. To bring it up now, I think, is unprofessional and not the right time to do it. If you guys had a problem with our $3 allocation, you should have voiced your opinions then, and we should have had gone into numerous discussion and allowed them to have as much of a say as Cornell Cinema just had. I would recommend going down instead of increasing our budget. I would recommend decreasing SAFC budget by $1.40 because we are actually still adding a lot of money to their current allocation. How much?
I can do the percentage.
Okay. We're still adding a great amount of increase to support new student organizations and to allow to new students to now allow for innovation between the students. So just adding an extra 60 cents just for the heck of it to round up, I don't think is very feasible, but they still are getting a great increase, and they were happy with any increase, to be honest. So I didn't want to call the question, because I think we had a good discussion on it.
All right, is there a second?
Second.
Is there a dissent? Okay, we're going
to...
Sure.
Who decided that we need to give them an even...
That's in the charter.
That's out of
it's the bursar.
Okay, so now we're going to go ahead and vote on increasing SAFC's allocation to $82.17. Call it Brittany.
Yes.
Salon song?
Yes.
Cancer?
No. Sorry, Harry. We're voting right now on the SAFC's allocation of $82.17.
Okay.
So this would bring the total activity fee to $218.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Yes.
The five?
Yes.
Yeah.
Pat.
Glasser?
Yes.
Juno?
Yes.
Pass.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Kumar?
No.
Latella?
No.
Nicoletti?
Steve.
Raff?
No.
Rao?
Yes.
Raffarat?
Yes.
Smith?
No.
Welsh?
No.
Salonstone?
No.
Gitlin?
Yes.
Genoa?
No.
771. Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and vote no.
Can I go to the speakers?
Yep.
Can we motion to amend then?
Yeah.
To, I guess, decrease.
Put him for it after getting on the speakers.
Oh.
The VP days was first.
So I'd like to.
Eight.
Oh, you have 8 yeses?
8 no. 1, 2.
Oh, okay.
You should. Yeah.
You're on my list. Yeah, man.
We'll go back. I guess. Representative Brow was on the original speaker.
Yeah, I'll speak quickly. I just wanted to speak in favor of Slope Day. I know it's a big allocation, but I think Chris pretty much explained a lot of the costs. And just to address the trustee, it's a student activity fee, not a trustee activity fee. We're on the
okay. Next on the speaker's list. All right. Next on the speaker's list is just 95.
This is a pretty general statement. It's not really either for or against Slope Day. But it's more just I don't feel that saying that because Slope Day is not here, so that's a good rationale for either cutting them or not cutting them. I mean, they were notified that it was a possibility that could happen at this meeting, and I mean, Cornell Cinema is bringing 50 kids in here for 3 hours or however long we've been here, then they could have sent one person. That being said, I don't think that's rational for cutting them either. I don't think that should be factored into the decision, whatever we do make. And I am in favor of Vice President Kumar's resolution to cut SASD. And I just want to, do we have, yeah, can I, right before I go to the point of inquiry, do you have the number that they have, like what they had last year and what they would be at if we were to cut them?
So, they were previously funded at $75.73 last year.
Uh-huh.
So if we funded them at $80.17 instead of $82.17, mm-hmm. That would be a 2.9% increase versus a 4.17% increase.
Okay.
And the whole activity fee is going up by 3.37%.
Okay. And yeah, I'm going to officially motion to amend in favor of President Hoover.
Okay. Can you repeat your amendment?
You just amended to 80.17.
Okay, so there's been an amendment on the floor to amend SAFC's allocation to $81.57. And first on the speaker's list is DP Bates.
So, one of the rationales of the Appropriations Committee when they were looking at the SAFC as an organization, because essentially the SAFC gets about 30% of the entire student activity fee. It is by far, by four times, the largest violence-funded organization, and really funds pretty much every student on campus is participates in an SAFC-funded organization in one way or the other. So pretty much the baseline the Appropriations Committee used to look at an increase to the SAFC was to look at an increase that kept the SAFC's allocation in line with the student activity fee as a whole. The student activity fee as a whole is rising at 3.37%. This proposed cut would only increase the SAFC's allocation by 2.89%. So the SAFC is essentially falling behind. For all students who are part of an SAFC organization, you know how difficult it is to get funding. You know how low funding caps are kept. I absolutely think that this extra 60 cents versus cutting them $1.40 from their current allocation makes sense. So I encourage you guys to vote this down.
Okay. Next on the speaker's list is Ian.
I just want to say several things that I hope that you continue to use the same very, very responsible, very close, fine-combed consideration of funding that you have done through Cornell Cinema for all other groups, including Spoke Day, which is getting a very large increase. So I'm perfectly fine with that, and I think many people are. The other thing is I do hope that actually, since you find yourself in this position where you have this money that can kind of go any way, you please consider giving it to Cornell Cinema. You don't have to debate this. If you bring in a motion, I think there's been enough debate on this issue. We all know where you stand. But just sort of given that this debate has been cut off oddly by and is not representative, given that a large number of you continue to support $11 and that has not been debated at all, I think it would be prudent to just vote on this and set a statement as to your opinion. I mean, you send a signal. You don't need to make the cut. Size of the cut does not send the signal. You saying things sends the signal. So I really hope that you consider using this money where it could be most used.
Thank you.
Most appreciated.
VP Kumar.
I think it's really important to do everything we can to make sure that the student activity fee rises at a slow rate. I think this does that. I think, you know, other options would simply increase the rate of growth. I think the fact that the SAFC's allocation would be increasing by 2.9% compared to the total SAS of 3.3% is very much in line. I think it's a completely reasonable cut. It's a small increase. It's not a cut. I think that this increase is more appropriate than other options we've been considering. So I'll go ahead and call this to question.
I'm going to call this question for a second.
Just because I'd like to hear from the SAFC leader.
Okay, since there's dissent, we're going to...
You
withdraw. Okay, DOE Junior.
Oh, I'm good.
Oh, okay. So there's been a call to question. There's a second. Will the clerk please call the roll? This is decreasing SAFC's allocation by 40 cents.
No,
dollar. $1.40 from $81.57 to $80.70. There's going to be a vote to vote now. There's dissent. All those in favor of voting, please raise your hand. Okay, all those against? Maybe watching this. There you go. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and vote. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Basil?
No.
Longstrom? Danza?
No.
DeLuca?
Yes.
Desai?
Yep.
Gitlin?
No.
Glasser?
No.
Junot?
Yes.
Kumar?
Yes.
Rosella?
Yes.
Ancelotti?
Pass.
Rath?
Yes.
Rao?
Yes.
Reverett?
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 Oh, yeah.
Smith?
Yes.
Welch?
No.
DeLongchamp?
No.
Nicoletti?
Yes.
Ten to six.
10-6.
By a vote of 10-6, the amendment passes. Okay, now we're going to open up. Oh, Representative Lucia.
I would like to call a question on the agenda.
Second.
Okay, is there any dissent?
Yeah.
There's been a call to question to approve the entire student activity fee, and there is a second. Is there any dissent? Yeah, for $216. Okay, will the clerk please call the roll?
Basil?
Yes.
DeLongchamp?
Yes.
Danza?
Yes.
DeLuca? DeLuca?
Yes.
Desai?
Yes.
Gitlin?
Yes.
Glasser?
Yes.
Junot?
Yes.
Kumar?
No.
Rotella?
Yes.
Nicoletti?
Yes.
Rath?
Yes.
Rao?
Yes.
Reverett?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Well?
Yes.
15-1 to 0.
By a vote of 15-1 to 0, the student activity fee is approved. Assembly members, can please be seated. We have two quick resolutions still on the agenda. We have one last resolution regarding Marcellus Shale Drilling.
And you all read, can you please keep it down? No, we have two more resolutions.
One.
Yeah. Or one more? We're not doing more.
No A3C.
No
A3C.
Huh?
No
A3C.
Yeah, Randy, can you yell and tell everybody to be quiet?
All right, can you please keep it down on your way out? We still have business on the agenda.
What?
Please make your way out the room.
What are you doing?
It was in yesterday.
Yeah. All right, go ahead and do this. You'll have... Go ahead and present.
Everybody, this is Cole. Kyoto now. Can you give a little background on Marcellus Shale Drilling, just so you guys are more informed about what it is?
All right, yeah, I want to give you a little bit of information about Marcellus Shale Drilling in general and what may or may not be going on in the future around campus. The Marcellus Shale bed itself comes from Virginia all the way up into New York, including Pennsylvania and West Virginia. It's up to a mile underground and is only 100 to 200 feet thick, which does not make it optimal for traditional drilling, which you just drill straight down. So what happens is it will drill straight down into the Marcellus Shale and horizontally drill through it and pump a lot of hydrofracking fluid in it, which is mostly water, which they pull from the local water sources. And then they add an 8% sand
and 1 or 2% of chemicals, which up until now they haven't had to say what they were. However, as soon as they were forced by New York DEC to release them, I think at least over 50 of them were found to be federally classified as hazardous, including known carcinogens and endocrine disruptors and other kind of nasty things. But, yeah, basically, what would happen is that per well, they use 3.5 million gallons of water, a certain portion of which inevitably leaks into the environment as they're drilling straight down in the ground and are not able to extract all of the fluid which they pump into it. And so the risk of contamination of surface and groundwater is pretty high and has happened in Pennsylvania and Colorado and Wyoming. And,
the water wasn't potable?
The water, right, became a problem to drink. And the amount of water, what they then have to do is add a very large amount of water from a different source so that it becomes, two EPA qualifications. What's happening? I guess the options that they have for treating the sewage are also not difficult. They have to build a plant here to do that, or they have to truck it out, which is going to be really expensive to, and also somewhat polluting. The benefits are talked about by Cornell University Cooperative Extension has a good PowerPoint that they have a presentation online, and they've also done a bit of research and. As Kyoto Now as an organization, we're somewhat concerned that of the environmental impact that drilling would have. We've had talks with Susan Murphy and actually one of the vice presidents and Cindy Scorton, and I think that comes to the resolution, which is to.
So basically, what all this resolution is doing is we know this decision is President Scorton's decision to make, and we're not trying to change that at all. All we want to do is make sure that his decision is an educated one. So what this resolution does is it sets up a committee that researches Marcellus Shale drilling. Hopefully, will be headed by Cole and Kyoto Now representatives, and just. Give the information, the facts that this could harm the environment to President Scorton so that he knows this when he's making his decision.
Is it going to be like a part of the environmental committee?
It would be by the way. And just so you guys know, the AU just passed. Like the exact same
resolution. U.S. It's been a long day. Let the record show that you said U.S.
U.S.
The U.A. just passed the same resolution, almost the exact same wording.
Okay. First on the speaker list is VP Kumar.
Yeah, first of all, thanks for sticking around all this
time. Yeah.
And, you know, the second thing is, Adam's, your committee has done a great job with this. I was wondering if you could just kind of talk. So, we all got an email about I think it's the UA setting up the sustainability committee that would try to coordinate action more throughout the course of. Especially next semester, I think, because each sort of assembly's environmental committee is just sort of doing their own thing. So, is this like, do you think you can integrate this into what they're doing next semester? Is this completely separate? I guess follow up.
What we're trying to set up here is something that would be basically set up by President Scorton, not have too much influence with us, the environmental committee. It would be basically just for his own. Personal knowledge so you make an educated decision.
Okay, right.
Not really, I mean, we're proposing it, but it's not really affiliated with, you know.
All right, so I'm in complete support. I'll yield to VP.
Point of information.
Sure.
The committee that was set up by UA resolution, I don't think had any stipulations for the essay, but it was like a very roundabout thing. It didn't really like have any
material things in it, but instead, you know, let's all work together. Okay. But I agree with Representative Howard that the resolution is pretty much the same and the package is supported.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, I guess my only concerns for this resolution stem from the fact that I know absolutely nothing about geology. So, as somebody who, you know, hears a lot about carcinogenic, you know, liquid substances and all this kind of stuff, I say, wow, that's definitely not something I want in my water supply, but is that actually true? So, and what I want President Scorton to do is I want President Scorton to make a decision that's informed by science. And I'm a little unsure of how a committee composed of faculty, staff, students, and administrators is going to be making this decision. Frankly, I'd much prefer a committee of geologists. But, yeah, so frankly, I'd like to see a committee just composed of geology faculty members that's actually making a very important decision. Do you want to comment?
Go ahead.
Can I make an amendment adding especially geologists?
20 seconds. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, while geology is somewhat important, that's really only going to deal with rocks. And this is mostly about air pollution and water pollution. So you're going to want, you know, environmental biologists. You're going to want molecular biologists. And those are the kind of people who Kyoto Now as a group has been talking to faculty such as that is around campus and found people like them who are interested in volunteering on a committee such as this. The point of the committee would be that Scorton really doesn't have the time to, you know, keep up with the research. Because right now, one of the issues, as an organization, Kyoto Now is not against like hydrofracking. It's just that we don't know hardly anything about it because it's like just coming to bear. And so that would be the point of the committee, to keep up with that and to be able
but
to...
So you're saying that the committee would be staffed by people who are actually knowledgeable in these kinds of scientific matters?
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, it's not just like the whole point of the committee is to get President Scorton the most like well-informed that we can get him, and obviously we have the most well-informed people on the committee if we can.
Yeah. Okay.
I'd just like to reiterate the point about the UN core, that they passed this unanimously. The Faculty Senate President of Arts and Sciences came and she, you know, the Faculty Senate supported this. And one more interesting fact, I think that 4 out of 5 faculty members on the UA are biology faculty members. So they knew a lot about this in supporting this resolution. With that, I'd like to call the question.
Second, dissent?
More of a question.
Yeah, sure.
How does this fit in, if at all, to the President's Climate Action Plan?
President's Climate Action Plan really doesn't deal with this. It's mostly just about just like them and the Green Team, or what used to be the Green Team, I don't know what it's called now.
If they don't do this drilling hypothetically, do you think so? It wouldn't in any way come into conflict with the plan?
No.
Okay.
I have a really quick question.
Sure.
Like a few more questions. One, do you guys actually have like faculty or administrators set up that want to be a part of this? And two, like you said, the decision goes to Scorton. What decision is Scorton actually making?
The decision to lease Cornell land.
Oh, okay.
And
so
then
he can actually cut this off?
Yeah.
Okay.
He has the power. I mean, it's whether to lease it or whether not.
Okay.
Right now, Cornell says they haven't been approached by drilling companies, but the Board of Trustees, the head of the Board of Trustees is on a gas drilling company.
And then all the budget cuts and
right.
The colleges, we all looked at the task force and they all don't want to cut their budget. So this would be a very easy way to get out.
Also, I spoke to someone at the barbershop in who has a lot of knowledge in the area because he has a lot of friends who own hundreds of acres. And apparently they're getting hundreds of thousands of dollars to lease their land. So Cornell has, you know, that type of land, and they need, you know, to round up some cash.
Yeah. So do you withdraw your dissent?
Yes.
Okay. Does anyone else have any dissent? There's been a call to question. There's been a call for acclamation. Is there any dissent? All right. The resolution passed. Motion to adjourn. Second.
Do you have
anyone?
A letter?
All right. Meeting adjourned.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.